Now, until 2 o'clock, your place and the tiny rural settlement we're visiting today was suggested to us as a destination by our first guest, who is a former very well-known television journalist who just a few weeks ago left behind the hustle and bustle of Auckland for the tranquility of her hometown. The population here numbers a couple of hundred, sparsely dotted around a large, shallow estuary in the eastern Bay of Plenty, about 45 k's by road from Whakatane and a 10-minute drive from Opotiki. And like Karikari, this is one of our great unspoiled places. Clean air, productive land, natural beauty, still plentiful kaimoana. Welcome to Ohiwa Harbour, a stretch of tidal water protected by the Ohopi Spit to the northwest and by the Ohiwa Sand Dunes and Spit on the other side of a narrow channel that leads out into the Pacific Ocean. And former TVNZ reporter and producer Kim Webby has rediscovered this place, and Kim has just opened a new business there. Kim Webby, good afternoon.
Kia ora, Jim. How are you?
Kia ora. Nice to talk with you again.
Indeed, indeed. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Our listeners will remember you from your time on Fair Go and One News and 60 Minutes, and you've been producing documentaries as well in recent times, haven't you?
Yeah. For about the last 10 years, I've been producing and directing mainly documentaries and factual series mainly for Māori television, actually, and a little bit for TVNZ. And then just over three years ago now, I started a degree in naturopathy, which I just finished at the end of last year.
The naturopathy degree, it's a fairly new course, isn't it?
Yeah, well, naturopathy has been around for a while as a diploma, but the year that I started, 2010, we were the first intake to get the NZQA, New Zealand Qualification Association, Bachelor of Naturopathy, so the full degree kind of thing behind our name. So we were the guinea pigs, and we all sort of survived it and came through. So, yeah, so it continues as a Bachelor of Naturopathy now.
So you're Kim Webby B-Nat.
Yeah.
So you've started up a business based on this, Kim, have you?
I have. I've started up a little clinic, well, I'm just getting started really, in Whakatane, called Kimi Ora Health and Wellbeing, with Kimi meaning to seek or find in Māori, and Ora, of course, being health. So right. For those who are trying to find, the best health that they can kind of possibly have, I guess, really.
And a neat little play involving your name too, actually.
It's, yes, indeed.
It ties in nicely. Yeah. Now, you've got the backing of local doctors too, haven't you?
Well, I've been to see, I've been slowly getting around the doctors, and I went to see the doctors at one of the local Kōpiopiopio Health Centre the other day, where my GP was 30 years ago. And so I've spoken with them and introduced myself and explained what I do. And, I'm very keen to work integratively, as we all are these days, with other medical health professionals. You know, we don't see doctors as the enemy. We see them as, people who are equally as interested in the health and well-being of the public, and that we should all, work together. So, yeah.
Okay.
And they were very, very interested and supportive in ways that naturopathy and more mainstream, medicine can work side by side.
Okay, so you've hung out your shingle in Whakatane, Kimi Ora Health and Wellbeing. So have you put the world of journalism behind you for good?
Not entirely. Throughout my studies, I did one documentary a year, which was pretty full-on, studying full-time and then doing a doco a year. And one documentary has followed me around for 5 years, which is the police raids on the Uruweras on October 15th, the so-called terrorism raids. And I sort of started that thinking that would be wound up, within a year. And 5 years on, I'm still working on it. But, I think the story is nearly finished now in terms of filming, so you can start putting it together.
Okay, but you'll still be busy for a while yet. And I imagine you're busy with the return home. So what made you do it?
Somewhere in my first year of study, I kind of just felt the urge to go back, really. And it got stronger and stronger, and I sort of... I had to follow through. There was sort of no stopping it, really. And also the other thing, I looked around, and Wellpark College, where I studied, is in Grey Lynn. Grey Lynn is pretty much overrun with naturopaths, and, you know, so is Greater Auckland, really. And I looked around for, you know, for an area where there weren't quite as many, and Whakatane sort of put its hand up. Little Opotiki itself actually has a naturopath and a great little health food store in town. So I thought, well, Whakatane's a bit bigger, and, you know, so I'll go over there.
So there's the demand for it. That's interesting, and an increasing one, I suppose. All right. So you grew up in Ohiwa, and but it's still a distance away from Auckland. So you'd probably feel that well and truly. You know, you've made a big life commitment now, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step to actually move out of the city. I had been in Auckland for 30 years, and leave behind friends and, you know, leave behind favourite places to go and eat, and knowing that you can go and catch a movie any old time you want, and that there's always sort of entertainment on demand. You know, to go and sit down at the harbour where you're going to have to drive to anything and your choices are going to be a lot more limited. Yeah, it was a big step, but then I'm rediscovering the value of community and neighbours who speak to you and, you know, walking down the street and people smile at you and people have time. I've discovered that I have to allow more time to go and run errands because people will stop and chat.
People have time, yeah, exactly,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
And it's such an important part of life, that's the thing, and in a busy Auckland life, you can just completely neglect it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm having to learn to really slow down and take the time and build more time into my day for those interactions to take place. I'm still, you know, I'm still on Auckland time a bit. I'm still dashing from here to there.
No, we can understand that. All right, so what is your day like? So you drive, you have a drive about what, about a half an hour drive into Whakatane?
Yeah, I wake up in the morning and open the caravan door because I'm staying in a caravan at the moment and check whether the tide is in or out on the harbour, make some breakfast and hop in the car and drive for half an hour. And it's just so not like driving for half an hour in Auckland where you turn up stressed and frustrated and there's traffic jams and roadworks. Well, there's roadworks actually at the moment where we're travelling. But, yeah, it's a pretty drive around the harbour and into Whakatane, watching the sun come up over the harbour. This morning it was sort of mist rising off the river because I was a bit earlier and it was still quite cold and steamy and just, yeah, it's a whole different start to the day, a different, beautiful way to start the day, really.
And you've got clients already?
I'm slowly building up my client base, but, you know, it takes time and I've only had the doors open for 3 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, but I do have clients. I'm doing massage as well as naturopathy, and I'm finding at the moment people tend to be keener on a massage, but hopefully they'll want naturopathic consultations as well in due course.
And they'll just have to get used to the fact that you're there and know you're there, and that'll all take a wee while to do.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So why are you living in a caravan? I hope that's not the long-term plan.
No, the long-term plan is to build on a piece of land in front of my mother's place, but we're still going through the council process for that and Resource Management Act and things like that. So it takes a while. So I'm kind of reconciled to being in a caravan through winter, a caravan and a gazebo, which houses the kitchen and a shed.
Well, as long as you get on with whoever's in the caravan, that's the main thing, actually. Being in a caravan for a while could be fun.
Indeed. I think so. We're thinking of getting a big teepee, actually, as guest quarters as well, and a bit of a sort of a hangout lounge, my partner and I. So, yeah, that could be fun.
Oh, you're getting fully naturopathic now. So you're down the spit end of the harbour, are you?
Yeah, we're down the spit end of the harbour. So less than a kilometre down the road is the ocean beach and then the harbour mouth. So I can take the two black labs down there for a good run on the beach after work. It's a nice wind down.
And do most people where you are work? Where do they work? Do they stay in Ohiwa Beach or do they go into town?
No, they go into town. They either work in Opotiki, which is just 10 minutes away, or they work at Ohiwa. One of my neighbours actually commutes weekly to Hamilton and comes home at the weekends. And his wife stays at the beach at Ohiwa during the week. But, yeah, they're generally in Opotiki or Whakatane. And so, there's quite a few retired people there as well, you know, who are home during the day. And there's the farm at the back. So, yeah.
Do you feel at home? I mean, it sounds lovely. It sounds like a nice little community, and I'm sure it's friendly. So you feel like you're back home?
I feel like I'm right at home. I really, I just wonder why I spent so long away, to be honest. And of course, I know why. It was work, and the opportunities for work were in Auckland. But I do feel, I feel very much at home, and I'm sort of falling in love with Aupōtiki Township again as well, because, you know, I left when I was a teenager, and, you know, it's a small town, and all you want to do is get out and go and spread your wings and stretch your legs. But things I appreciate now about that town are, like, there's a community picture theatre, which is actually run by a community trust, and I raced in there to go to the movies the other night, and they don't have EFTPOS, so I had to run up the road to the ATM. I mean, little things like that are just classic. The architecture, I love the old buildings. They're all sort of 1930s, and nothing's been bold to put ugly edifices up. The only fast food chain in Aupōtiki so far is Subway, fingers crossed. So, you know, I guess one of the better of the fast food chains. And it's got local stores. You know, it's got your butcher, and it's got your bakery, and, you know, it's got your clothes shopping place. And, yeah, it's kind of, it's like New Zealand was, really, but, yeah, in a really good way, I think.
Isn't it funny how a time comes in life and you decide to do something, and then you kind of immediately know it's right. It sounds like it's right for you.
Yeah, definitely right for me. And my daughter and her partner, with their brand new baby, came down for Christmas, and my daughter was on her maternity leave, and then they were going to go back to Auckland, and they've decided to stay as well.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, so my mum's there, so we get together most nights and have dinner, four generations under one roof.
Oh, that's nice too. That's lovely.
Fabulous. Yeah, yeah.
Kim Webby is on with us. Your place, Ohiwa Harbour. All right, so it's worked out well, and you're a great person to introduce it for us today. Can we play a song for you?
Please do.
Band of Horses.
Yes, long, slow, cruel hands of time.
All right, we'll play that with great pleasure. Good luck, Kim. We'll look forward to catching up, but I hope you really enjoy life down there.
Thank you, Jim. All the best to you.
Kim Webby, your place, Ohiwa Harbour, the jewel of the Eastern Bay of Plenty. That's where we're visiting today. Jim, never underestimate that lovely estuary you described in Ohiwa. My young fiancé and I nearly drowned there in 1983, but it is magical. We lived on Ohokana Island, says Karen McIntyre. Yes, the catchment area of Ohiwa Harbour extends inland to the upper reaches of the Nukahoe River, most of the waterways surrounded by rolling hills. There are a dozen or so islands inside the harbour, and a number of peninsulas or spurs that form the shoreline and contribute to its reputation as a great marine playground. And the edges are dotted with salt marshes and wetlands and mudflats. Jim, you didn't mention one of the most important aspects of Ohiwa Harbour, the birds. It's a birder's paradise. Please consider yourself thoroughly pecked off, says Mike Byrne. Well, we haven't finished yet, Mike. Our next tour guide has been there all his life and knows much about the land and the people, and he is Wally Aramoana. Wally, kia ora.
Kia ora.
You were born there, in fact, I think, Wally. Yes?
Yes, I was born in the harbour, yes, at Roimata Marae.
Okay. And you went
which
to...
Which is up in the headlands, way up in the headlands of the harbour.
Okay. And you went to school there, I believe. And the school you went to has changed. It's a total immersion school now, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Part of it, yeah. Yeah, the junior classes are in Te Reo.
Yeah.
And then the standards are in the English part of the...
In your day, you wouldn't even...
Bilingual, eh?
Yeah, bilingual.
Pretty much.
And in your day, you wouldn't have even had the junior classes in Te Reo. You would have spoken, what, Māori at home and English at school, basically.
Yes, I did. Yeah, we weren't allowed to speak Māori at school. We had to go and learn English. A lot of us didn't go to school too long.
What? How
old I was? Pardon?
How old were you when you left then?
Oh, not even 15.
Right. So
I left school because I couldn't handle that. I felt I was being not. I was losing a lot in my knowledge. I knew more about Maori things, and yet we were counting in te reo. We were doing exactly maths and that in reo. But when I went to school, the punishment sometimes was a bit great for me, and I just sort of, I guess a lot of children today are going through the same thing. They come from the inland, you know, hardly come to town and grow up like that. And I, at the moment, I think we're in that where you start to go back into yourself because you can't, you're too shy. Maori have that problem.
Do you think, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Do you think you missed much by leaving school so early? You happy with it?
I think I've learned more since. I've learned more since I left. Carpentry and all those things. I can build, I can do all those things without, the only thing I haven't got is a ticket. Electrician, yeah, I go and work, do some work with an electrician, and sort of I learned more.
You probably don't need the qualification with the life you've chosen. Would that be fair? Everybody knows you can do the job.
Early days was all right, yeah.
It's got a bit tougher lately.
Yeah.
So
now we were self-sufficient those days. We worked with farmers that were electricians and things like that, and you sort of learn colour coding, and I even helped put the power into my own home.
Did you? I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did it brilliantly. Remembering back to that childhood of yours, can you tell us, Wally, what's changed most about Ohiwa Harbour since that time? What was it like then?
Oh, excuse me. I think it was roads and the opening up the roads into the harbour. I think did a lot of damage, I guess. Homes started coming up into a place that was just so pure. It was clean. There was only one access in the top end of the harbour, and there was no other access but from the sea.
Yeah.
And all the whole harbour was actually not lived. There was nobody there. Before the roads got up, we just rode our horses across, swam them across the sea, and sort of got mutton birds there and everything. Everything sort of disappeared when houses went up.
Yeah.
You were self-sufficient. You lived off the sea. You lived off the land. You had medicines right there around that area in the harbour, and I think there's a lot of people that live there that understand that, and it's still like that today, but where the fish is concerned, pollution over the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And in early days, you didn't have that problem. It was so clean. A fish was available to you just as soon as you wet your feet, you're eating, you know, sort of like that.
The deforestation inland, Wally, that won't have helped the harbour probably. It would have silted up
a bit. That's the biggest problem now, yes, even for whitebait and all these. What we're doing is sending young people back to school to learn about kaitake tanga in the wānanga, whare wānangas, and getting them into those sort of things so we can help turn the land back and the rivers back into, get a bit of, clean them up.
Yeah.
We do a lot of that in our Ohiwa Harbour, including our residents staying in the harbour who are English too. They're Pākehā, they're Chinese, they're all sorts of there, and we class them as one. We're one big family that, as caretakers, we do what we can to our harbour to bring it back to a bit of goodness for the animals as well, you know, like the birds and things like that.
Speaking of the birds, there were plans, weren't there, to have a bird refuge?
Yes. Well, that's what we're in there. We've got salt marsh groups, and we all work together. We all work together, and we're pretty well near there every day of our lives.
Yeah.
They're always walking the beach early in the morning and checking on predators and all that. Everybody does their bit in each area.
which is great. But it's
a lot of pardon.
No, sorry to interrupt. I was going to say that's great, but the trouble is when you have a small population and not much money to work with for all these ideas, it can be hard, can't it?
We're lucky that we work with DOC and they supply implements if we need it, and through them we get help. But for us, it's a passion. Yeah. Everybody has that same passion. It's a love for the what we're doing. Where a lot of us are retired, some of us are invalids, and we just go there to be there because we love to see what we can do to bring our sea moana back to life and our rivers.
Yeah.
Long finials now are getting scarce since the commercialization of eeling, and some of our rivers are closed off through farmers. They close their farms to those commercial fishers.
Wally, the people are still coming in, though, aren't they? There's a new subdivision going in, I understand.
Yes, yes. We have I think his name is Bain McDonald. He did a building site in Papamoa, and it's very much the same as this. It has historical sites on it. And what he's done is given all the historical areas in the past, about 100 and something acres, back to the Māori to preserve, put back into native for the birds like kiwis. We've got weka back now, which were not here before. They were eaten or whatever, a disease. So we've done actually doing a lot to try and help our community, our area.
Okay, so that's the sort of eco-development you want, actually. That's it, right?
Yes.
Up. Yeah.
Yes, I'm out there every day sometimes. Yeah, I tried to call, stay in, but I was out. I was called out to go out there to a meeting, and there are people coming down there to talk about history on the Onekawa Pā. Children, school children, which is educational for them, and from Otakiri, that's over in Whakatāne Wairi, Awakiri.
Yep.
So we take all schools, they come and we go around and give them history, bird life, things like that in the harbour, history. Yeah.
You're still nicely busy. You're still doing quite a lot, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Good on you, Wally. Nice to talk to you.
There's about 200 of us in my family, just my family, the hapu. We have five marae.
Five marae for the hapu alone?
Pardon?
The hapu itself has five marae.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all the people come on weekends. We have working bees for the month.
You'd have non-stop working bees with that many going. there'd always be something to do on those marae, I imagine.
Yeah.
All five of them.
Yeah, right. We have big families.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you today. I understand you want a little bit of a song from Maisie Rika.
Yeah.
We'll do that with pleasure for you. All right.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Kia ora. Thank you, Wally Aramoana, and your place today, Ohiwa Harbour, on Afternoons. And our final tour guide has a long association with this area. Her great-great-grandparents came here in 1880 to farm, and her great-grandmother was the first white child born in the district, we understand. Coral Reeve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Lovely to talk to you. You're still on that same farm, are you?
Not where my great-grandparents were, but very close to it.
Close to it, okay. And I understand you're out on the farm as we speak, sitting on a quad bike somewhere.
That's correct.
What are you running on it?
Well, I've got, my daughter has 10 horses here, and I've just got a few sheep and just some beef cows with calves on them. It's just a small lifestyle block.
Right. And I understand you're also, Coral, you're not far from where Kim Webby is. She talked to us first today.
Yes, right next door, really. Yeah.
All right.
Very, very close. We're neighbours.
Your neighbours. So tell us about the ins and outs, if you wouldn't mind, Coral, of life there. I mean, where do you do most of your shopping when you live at Ohiwa Harbour?
I do most of mine in Aporiki, a little bit in Whakatāne if I'm over there for any other things, but mostly Aporiki.
Okay. And in terms of the geography, can you see White Island, for example, from where you are?
I can't see White Island. I can see Whale Island, and I look across to Ohopi and right around the harbour, over to the oyster farm at Ohopi. if White Island's having a little smoking day, I can just see the cloud or the puff.
All right, so we can kind of imagine...
Just out of range of my from where I am.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You, in terms of what it's like, it's fine for Kim because she was moving back home, but in terms of people moving into the community, can you describe what sort of a community it is for us?
There's quite a lot of retired people here. A lot of new people coming into it that are usually very welcome. There's a big camping ground that people go to and get the feel of the place and often look at maybe purchasing a holiday home here.
Yeah.
Got a few bachelors around.
It sounds like there's going to be a bit more of that going on with the new subdivision. People are trickling.
I would say there is. Yes, there will be. Yep.
Wally Aramoana was saying basically, Coral, that everybody gets on. Māori Pākehā relations are good and always have been.
Oh, they have been, especially with my family, I would say, with lots of others as well. We're just very, very good friends. Like, we're just family, really, more than friends. My parents were like Pākehā parents to a lot of the local Māori, and I was Mokopuna Pākehā as well as my siblings.
Right.
Very, very close.
Okay. Why so has
very lucky.
Yes, no, it's a blessed community from the sounds of it, from that point,
yep.
From that respect. Why has it, it's obviously going ahead now, why has it always kind of dawdled along until now, though?
Oh, a lot of people don't realise it's here. They just stick to the main road and don't deviate to our little corner of the world. So we've been quite lucky up until recently.
Quite lucky that not too many people have found you mean?
That's right, yeah, but it's changing now, yeah.
It's changing?
It is off the beaten track a wee bit.
Yeah, okay. And are there many properties, so there's that subdivision, is there anything else going on? Are there many properties regularly on the market, for example?
Yes, there are. There's properties coming on the market quite regularly. Sales are not moving all that quickly at the moment. I've got three places to sale up my little road at the moment.
What are their price tags? Have they got the prices on them?
Probably better not divulge that, I don't think.
They wouldn't be that cheap anymore.
They're not cheap, no. I would say $800,000 plus.
Oh, that's city prices.
It is quite expensive, yep.
Yeah. But for that, you get a holiday home in a lovely little part of New Zealand, which is still relatively unspoiled.
It is quite unspoilt. You'd get the permanent residence as well. I mean, there's some beautiful homes around here. Yeah, as well as lots of bachelors.
What was the best part of growing up there for you, Carol?
Best part for me was just being totally involved with the local Māori community. We were just very, very, very lucky, I guess I was, with my parents, that we were really integrated. And I still am today.
Yeah.
There's just no gaps there at all.
So it's been a privileged place to live in some ways, I imagine.
Oh, it has for me, very definitely, yep. Yep, very, very lucky.
Yeah. All right, now I understand also your niece, is she the lead singer in Pacific Curls?
That's the one, yes, she is.
We've got to play this in her honour and as a thank you to you too, so shall we do that?
That'd be lovely.
All right, thank you, Coral.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Coral Reeve and Wally Aramoana and Kim Webby.